Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose. Presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is Prayers of Rejoicing, the Transformative Power of Gratitude. For those of you who are new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She has also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, my love is reaching out to you, and I know that we have people listening in Europe and Africa, South America, Australia, and all over North America. And I feel so very privileged to be a part of this wonderful international community of people who aspire to our interconnectedness through the vehicle of love. Our gratitude connects us with our divinity, the part of each of us that is full of love and joy. It opens us up to our inspirations and thus brings us forward to our own true purpose. But before I go into this topic any further, I always like to begin our show with a spiritual agreement. This was a gift from our dear friend and mentor, Jana Massey, and I'll share it with you now, and I ask that you all make this agreement with me, if you will. It goes like this. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good, and together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Josephine. Right, we received many messages of encouragement and support after last week's show, and I thought perhaps I should read a few now and then perhaps a few later if there's a good moment.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love that.
Okay, so the first is from a listener in Northern California, and she writes, I was listening to the show, and this really warm feeling kept pushing deeper inside of me, and I'm like, well, what is going on? I was so comfortable sitting and listening to your show that it was almost making me glow. And that doesn't sound like a big thing maybe to you, but to me, it's huge. I'm 72 years old. I've wanted to be comfortable inside my skin all my life. And here I sit listening to your show, and I'm comfortable inside my skin. Wow. Love you so much, Rosa.
That's so great.
Isn't that great?
Thank you, Rosa.
And then our next message is from Wilma, and she writes, Hello, Josephine. I live here in South Africa, and I just want to let you know that I love listening to you. You are so wise and so humble, and I'm really striving to be like you. I'm on a spiritual path, but some days I just feel as if I am a cotton ball fluffing and blowing around in the wind. Love, light, and many blessings, Wilma.
Thank you, Wilma. I feel a little bit like a cotton ball too sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
And that's so, so sweet of you. I really appreciate it. It's lovely.
And then this last one that I'll read just now, this one goes like this. It's, thank you for your beautiful meditation. Many blessings to you. Carmen from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, thank you, Carmen. So nice to hear from you. That's really great. And thank you guys for those beautiful, beautiful messages. I really love them. They fill my heart, and I get full of gratitude to all of you who are listening each week. So on that note, I'd like to begin our program this week with a prayer that I use every morning when I open up the shutters, and I say this out to my garden out the window and look at the sky and the plants. We have lovely persimmons growing and an apricot tree and some honeysuckle vines and blackberries out there and a view of the mountain. And as I open the window and greet the day, I recite this little E.E. Cummings poem, and Frank has put the first stanza on a slide there for us. I was wondering, Tony, perhaps you could put that on.
Certainly.
Thank you so much. So it goes like this. Thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and the true blue dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of laughter and of love and of wings and of the great gay happening illimitable earth. How can any tasting, touching, seeing, feeling, hearing, any human merely being doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, now the eyes of my eyes are opened. And then in my morning prayer experience, after I have said this E.E. Cummings poem, I'll usually reach my arms up overhead and then stretch my arms back like I'm spreading my wings and really open my chest up as I say, O Creator, God of truth, God of love, I accept all blessings of truth at this time. I'm ready for the new. I welcome the abundance. And then I have one last little part that I have added on that is just the result of all of the many experiences of my life that I've come to really feel this is truth. And it is for me. And so I finish up with saying, Divine Spirit of my higher self, Creator, God of truth, God of love, thank you everything for everything. And so it is. And that's how I like to start my day. It's a really great way for us to go ahead and align ourselves. And usually as I'm saying the E.E. Cummings poem, I'll look out into the garden and look for all the different colors that I can think of that are the colors of the rainbow. And I'll usually find a little bit of yellow on the tip of a leaf somewhere, and some red in a blossom perhaps, and orange also maybe in a dried leaf that's fallen or a part of the fence, and then, you know, the greens and the purples and the blues and the violets, they're all there usually, just teeny little representations perhaps, but I can see them out my window, and that sort of helps me to just align myself in accordance with the colors that we all are a part of. You've heard, I'm sure, of sound healing and color healing, and we have all the colors in us. So it's a wonderful morning practice. And so I invite you to find a practice that's just right for you to begin your day with prayers of gratitude. Some people like to do a gratitude journal. That's a beautiful thing to do. And just to focus in and allow yourself to really find what you're grateful for, however it may be. And then just let that be a part of your day. It's a wonderful, wonderful spiritual practice that really helps us to grow our souls.
Wow, Josephine. Oh, I just so love that E.E. Cummings poem. It's just so inspiring and so uplifting, and just the language, the images, everything about it is really delightful.
But the thing
I wanted to really comment on today was the final bit where you say, thank you everything for everything.
Yeah.
And, to me that seems like, you know, such a huge, you know, change in outlook, being grateful for everything,
yeah.
Even the things that, you know, may have caused us pain and hurt and,
right.
and whatever. But I guess it's about, if you are truly grateful for this moment, then you have to be truly grateful for all the things that led you to this moment.
That's really true.
Is that how you see it?
That's absolutely how I see it.
It seems so liberating if you can get to the point of just really being grateful for it all.
Yeah.
You know, and including, you know, the not so good stuff.
Yeah, it's really true. Well, you know, some of you know, because I've shared on the radio show before, that my mother passed when I was just 19, and she took ill when I was 11. So there was a long period of time while she was preparing to get ready to make her transition, and then she did finally die after 8 or 9 years of a long lingering illness. And it was the most devastating moment of my life. I was stunned and shocked, and I couldn't believe how I could possibly go on. But I did manage to go ahead. You do manage to get through these things. Somehow you stumble your way through grief. And sometimes grief takes us longer or shorter, but we all make our way through it. Well, not all. Well, mostly we tend to make our way through it. And what I learned out of that experience was that at a very early age, I got into a very good habit of taking care of myself, because that was the parent who took care of me. You know, even though she was ill, she still took care of me. She took care of my emotional needs. She took care of, made sure I was financially cared for, all of those things that were, and my dad did too, but he was, you know, he had different roles in the family. And so it was, I suddenly found myself cut adrift in that regard. And it really helped me to realize that these, what I call stinker moments, the real stinkers, can often be our greatest blessings in disguise. And Peace Pilgrim, who I absolutely love, who was one of our great American saints, maybe the only American saint, She, if you're not familiar with her, she walked 27,000 miles on foot for peace, and her every step was a prayer. And it was a prayer of gratitude for us, for finding our inner peace and for awakening to peace throughout the world. And she was a pilgrim for peace. That's why she did her pilgrimage. And she fasted until she was offered food, and she walked until she was given shelter, unless she would sleep by the side of the road. And she talked and lectured in universities and in schools and all sorts of places on the radio. And she used to say that when she was young, she often would pray for people to no longer have any problems. But as she matured, she realized that she could see that a life without problems would be a barren life. And she said, we need to solve the problems that life sets before us, because our problems are opportunities for our spiritual growth, and we need to solve them in accordance with the highest laws, and in that way we grow. Which I thought was really a beautiful way to look at the world, because I think so often we worry about our children or our family members or our friends, and we think, oh, if only they could be relieved of this problem. But really, our problems are blessings. And we can move beyond the emotions that come with our problems, be they hurt or anger or whatever, and we can move through them into understanding and forgiveness. And with that, I'd love it, Tony, if you could show our next slide.
Certainly.
Thank you. So this is a slide from, this is a quote from Louise Hay, who is the master of self-love, and she has beautiful ways for us to really heal ourselves and to learn how to love ourselves, heal ourselves emotionally. And a big part of that is forgiveness. And this first quote here is from her, and I just love this one because it really owns a lot of self-responsibility. So it says, I forgive you for not being the way that I wanted you to be. I forgive you and I set you free and thereby free myself. And we do come into our relationships with a lot of preconceived notions about how people should behave and what they should do. And when we really just take a moment to think about, you can do it right now, just think about somebody who is behaving in a way that you don't think is right, that it's not the way you would behave. And then just try this little affirmation of forgiveness on. I forgive you for not being the way that I wanted you to be. I forgive you and I set you free, and thereby free myself. And it's such a deep, deep teaching, and it's such a beautiful exercise. And I have gone through really every moment of my life, because I had to spend, you know, a couple of years in bed with injuries and things, and you get some time to do work on some stuff in that sort of situation. And to go back through your life and to think of every single situation where, you know, you felt a little tight, and to just forgive is a really remarkable experience. And so whatever time you can devote to forgiveness, it's a great thing, and it really does free us to gratitude, because then we can become grateful to the people and the situations in our lives. And then the second part of this slide is looking at forgiveness from three ways. And I can't remember where I came across this in my travels, but I've used it for years and years, and I really find it to be extremely helpful. And it's to realize that forgiveness is a two-way street, as well as we need to forgive ourselves. So the first one goes, I forgive you for any pain that you may have caused me. And then the second one, owning our own responsibility, says, I ask that you forgive me for any pain that I may have caused you. And then the third one, owning our own self-responsibility, is I forgive myself for allowing you to cause me any pain. And a lot of that is in those expectations that we have of others, expecting them to be the same as us instead of different from us, and yet we are all different. We are all unique aspects of the divine. So our forgiveness really helps us to move beyond our holding patterns. And as my teacher, Jana, used to say, it erases the hurt so that the truth can be made known. And, you know, if we are holding on, spirit is not free to move. So if we're holding on with our tight little hands, it doesn't allow spirit the opportunity to get in there and help us to learn and grow as much. So it's good to soften our grip and our attachment, which, you know, as the Buddha said, is the cause of all suffering. So it's good for us to soften our attachments and to open ourselves to a little bit of forgiveness. So now, Tony, perhaps you can show that next slide, which is the five stages of grief. And, of course, what we're speaking about here is obstacles to gratitude. And so we're talking about forgiveness and grief, because grief can also be a huge obstacle to gratitude, as it was when my mother first passed. I just couldn't even imagine a life without her, as I said. And so learning how to move through grief, and, of course, grief is going to take however long it's going to take. Sometimes grief is much longer and harder, and sometimes it's much shorter and easier. But here are the five stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with. And the first is denial. We're like, no, this can't be happening. And then the second is anger. How could I live in a world where God would allow this sort of thing to occur? Or where, you know, what happened? Who was that driver or whatever it was that happened that created the pain that we're feeling? And then the third one is bargaining. You know, if I do this, could you let that person come back? Or what if I beg, or I'm willing to, you know, do anything? That's sort of that stage. And then comes depression, where we realize that this really is the new situation. And I love what my husband, my darling husband Frank, has to say about death and grief, about how there was an entity there, a person that our emotions and our thoughts would bounce off of and come back to us. And then when they die, their body is no longer there. And there isn't that receptacle to catch and hold or bounce through or share with. And it's sort of like this open gap becomes, the receptacle of our feelings or our thoughts or our words. And we don't resonate in the same way. And that can really feel odd and different. And I think that a part of the depression that we sometimes feel in grief comes out of that situation where they're no longer there receiving us. And also, I don't know if depression is really the right word, because depression is so often considered clinical in our society, like it's something that requires a medication or somebody to make a change about it. I like to use the word sadness, because when I've gone through grief, it's really that I feel sadness. I feel deeply sad. And part of that is missing that person, like Frank so astutely put, with that energy, no longer being able to resonate with them in the body form. And this can hold true for a divorce or for a breakup of a good friendship, or any number of things can occur where we can wind up with that depression, that sadness. And then the fifth stage that Elizabeth shares is acceptance, where we finally realize this is the way it is. And then I love the work that Byron Katie does with her book Loving What Is, where we really take it to the next step of just really understanding and allowing and being okay with it, not only being okay with it, but loving it. And I feel that with self-growth and with self-love, we can have that sixth step, which, of course, is gratitude, where we do love what is, and that lets us come into gratitude about it, like I did with my mother's passing, where I realized, you know, though I miss her terribly, there's so much that I've gained as a result of that, a real maturity that came to me young in my years so that I could really take care of myself. And from that, I also learned how to take care of others and to be my own mom, and that let me be mom to a lot of people. So it's a really great thing. So this is where, when we get to that sixth stage of gratitude, we can really come to see that these stinkers are blessings in our lives. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and invite us all to come to an exercise, if you'd like. So please go ahead and just relax and take a couple of nice, easy breaths and close your eyes. And then, of course, you're going to want to save this exercise for later. If you're driving a car, just remember it, and you can do it later when you're not operating any machinery. And then think back, if you will, to a difficult experience in your life. Something that happened maybe more than 10 years ago. Just let yourself remember something. And now allow yourself to look at it from new eyes. Understand that it helped you to become who you are today. Realize that we all make the most appropriate choice and take the most appropriate action at every moment in our lives. So even though things that happened might not be what you would choose now or what somebody else would choose now, it was the most appropriate for them or for yourself at that time. And then forgive yourself. Allow yourself to come to understanding. And forgive anyone else who was involved. And just know that you were growing your soul. And now just take a moment and see if you can't find something that you can be grateful for that came out of that experience. It can be anything. Maybe you got a new boundary. Perhaps you learned how to say no. Whatever it is. Just take a moment and let it come to you. And now remember this experience so that you can note it in your journal later. And then allow yourself to return to your normal waking consciousness. You might want to stretch your body a little bit, move your arms and legs, open your eyes if you've closed them. And with that, Tony, perhaps we can move to that next slide.
Sunday, Josephine.
This is one of my favorite slides. I have this written in calligraphy on the wall in my healing room. And I've also written it on a little rock that sits outside our back kitchen door. And it's a teaching from Zen. And it's so deep to me. And what it says is, infinite gratitude to all things past. Infinite service to all things present, and infinite responsibility to all things future. I think that's just such a lovely, lovely teaching. It's really, really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really, really nice. And I've got lots to say about that exercise, Josephine, but right now we have a caller on the line.
Oh, great.
I'd like to invite her on.
Well, how wonderful.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Josephine.
Oh, hi, Amalia.
Yes, this is Amalia. I've been listening to your program, and I just came with some, in the line of gratitude, with something I would like to share, if you let me.
Oh, please. I would just love it. It would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
You always
it
have
is
great things to share.
Oh, thank you, Josephine. Thank you.
Sure.
It is a little changing, you know, where you are at, but it's about gratitude.
Yeah.
And I think this may help us. And it's just, you know, something that I have learned in the Andes of Peru, since I am from there, how mostly indigenous people, even today, they live in gratitude to the Mother Earth, and they express whenever they can, you know, this gratitude. And something always got my attention highly. It is an act of harmony and reciprocity towards the Earth as an exercise before, you know, if you are, if you find yourself in a party-like situation with other people, or maybe you're going to build a house, or maybe somebody's arriving back from a long trip or whatever, before a meal is served, and there's normally beverages. It could be a lemonade, it could be, it's mostly down up there, a beverage made out of corn, of yellow corn, fermented yellow corn. It's not too strong as alcohol, but you know, people, especially the elders or anybody who will, the older people who will drink that, before they put in their mouths, they just kind of step aside, and they call and invite the spirits of the earth and the mountains around, the protector spirits of the lakes. And with the index finger or with a carnation, they would just, you know, put drops on the ground, expressing their infinite gratitude to our mother, you know, the earth.
Mm, yeah.
And that is a standard thing. It's so sweet and civilized to see that, you know, how these people are still living in a kind of two realities, because for them the concept of the earth, you know, it's not just like a a biological being with everything and it's alive, it, mm-hmm. it is an entity that is totally, totally alive, you
oh.
know? And they will just manage to talk as I was talking to you, you know?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's understood as when we are born, you know, we spend 9 months in our mother's tummy, and then the first nourishment we have for the first 2 years or so, it is mother's milk. And
yeah.
then where is the nourishment coming? It's from the earth in forms of fruits, of vegetables, and in forms of real food, you know?
Right.
And so when human beings, they transform something like corn into a beverage, you want the earth to taste this before you taste it. That is your
yeah.
gratitude,
yeah.
you know? And you respect, always respecting, you know, the little rocks or the mountains or the sun, you know, that was had allowed for this corn to grow. So you remember all the time, you know, when you live in that continuous, you know, feeling of gratitude, and you don't feel alone, you don't feel lonely, because
oh.
they recognize that everything has life and spirit. So even you can be walking, you know, working in your garden alone, you're not alone. There
yeah.
are the plants, there's the dirt, there's the microorganisms, and they all have a purpose, and they have life and spirit. So it's just recognizing that. And it, as I said, it's a very normal, standard practice. It's called chayay, you know, with a liquid, and... So, just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's beautiful, Amalia. Thank you so, so much for calling that in today. Absolutely
thank you,
wonderful.
Thank you. Keep doing the good work.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sure Bye-bye. All of our listeners have really enjoyed that. That was great. A little bit of wisdom from the Andes. Wonderful. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, wasn't that great, John?
Yeah, that was lovely.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was really getting into that idea of gratitude for everything.
And I love the wisdom of doing that first.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the little drops and stepping aside and honor, calling the mother in all of her many forms, and then giving the blessing, giving the respect and the gratitude, understanding that this is an extension of mother's milk and comes from the corn and the food plants of the earth around us. That's really, really great.
And I really like the way that it was connected with not feeling alone, you know, that you're part of something bigger, you know.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes, it is. It is really, truly lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Well, there was just one thing, Josephine, before you move on, that I wanted to say about that exercise, which we just did. I had in mind, you know, an event that happened a long, long time ago, and I was thinking about what I could be grateful for. And in that, it suddenly felt like, well, what I could do now, possibly, was to forgive myself, because I didn't really realize I was feeling still a bit guilty about this thing. And suddenly there was this question in me of, can I really do that? As if my assumption was that, no, somebody else had to do the forgiving, that I couldn't do it for myself. And then there was another part of me that was going, yeah, sure you can. All you
yeah.
have to do is just forgive yourself.
Absolutely.
And forgive yourself for doing it. And it feels like a really liberating thing to get to the place where you yourself can forgive yourself for things that you've done or thought or felt over the years.
Oh, that's beautiful, Tony. Thank you so much for sharing that. That really is great. And yes, absolutely, we can forgive ourselves. And we can also act energetically, that second part of the forgiveness affirmation, you know, I ask that you forgive me for any pain that I may have caused you. Wonderful
mm-hmm.
thing to use in that time too, you know. And the third part, I forgive myself for allowing you to cause me any pain, however it was. Knowing and understanding that we all make the best possible choices in any given moment of our life, given what we know and what we have to work with. And just understanding that that's who we were then. It's not who we would be now.
Mm-hmm.
We've grown from that experience. Our souls have grown. And so those are not choices we would make now. But at the time, they were choices that we can understand. And just like, you know, if a little child you know, hits the kitty too hard, you know, trying to learn how to pet it. You know, that's something that we wouldn't do now that we're older, but at that age and at that time, we didn't know enough to know to be gentle with the kitty, you know, so it's all right. We can forgive ourselves for the timing of our growth. It's okay. We grow in our own time. You know, thanks for mentioning that.
Well, thank you.
There's a wonderful spiritual tradition that I just love that comes from one of the branches of Hawaiian spirituality, which is an invitation to see everything as beautiful. And I just love that because gratitude is like a magical balm that increases the blessings in our lives. And when we make it to gratitude, we see that everything is beautiful. And, of course, the advanced course for something like this is, well, I always think of Viktor Frankl and his amazing book, Man's Search for Meaning. And, you know, he spent time in a Nazi concentration camp. And he found meaning there, you know, and we can do that. We can find things to be grateful for. We can find, I think one of the things that he said is, you know, they took everything from me, but they couldn't take from me my peace of mind. And to manage to find a way to hold on to peace of mind in a situation like that is extraordinary. And I'm sure that that has happened throughout the world in all sorts of other situations where there has been genocide. The Indian Wars in this country where we stole the land from the indigenous people and moved in. And or you go to Central and South America where some of the dictators have treated their people very, very cruelly, and it happens all over the world. I think that's one of the things that we are learning at this time is how to move beyond man's inhumanity to man. And, you know, certainly being able to find meaning in all forms of existence, even the most sordid ones like Viktor Frankl did and wrote about it, is an extraordinary human accomplishment, is an extraordinary soul growth. And Frank got a book some years ago that I just love. It's by Rob Bresny, who has the astrology in our local New Times, and I'm sure he's in a lot of New Timeses and different little local papers around the nation. And he does a beautiful job with his astrology. I just love it. And he wrote a book called Pronoia. And at first I thought, what does that mean? And then his subtitle is, well, that is the antidote for paranoia. Paranoia and pronoia. And his subtitle on it is, how the whole world is conspiring to shower you with blessings. Isn't that great?
That's really great.
I really like it. And with that, maybe you can move on to our next slide there, which is something that I learned from a friend of mine. And she said, gratitude is my only reaction. I thought, now that is really getting the advanced course. No matter what happens, you just get into gratitude. And you hear about that from some of the monks and things, that they really just jump right into it.
That really is the advanced course.
It is.
Josephine, perhaps this is a good time for me to read out a couple more messages from last week's show. Here's one about last week's show anyway.
Okay,
so this one goes, Dear Josephine, I just finished listening to your live show tonight. It was really good and you were lovely.
Oh.
I think it supplies a basic human aspect that many of us feels to be missing from life. Also, I went back and listened to the podcast of one of your May broadcasts. Very interesting. Thank you so much for reminding me that these exist as a resource for spiritual growth. And she signs off, in love and in light.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then we got another one which goes, thank you for the blog, and many, many exclamation marks from Grace.
Grace. So I'd like to share with you now another little prayer that I sometimes do in my dance class with my friends when we meet on Tuesday mornings and dance together. And this is a spontaneous gratitude prayer. And it's one that I just let my body go and I just start moving and saying it. And I invite all of you to try this if you can get bold enough to give it a go, because it's really a liberating and wonderful thing. And it goes like this. I'm so grateful for my arms and my legs and the beautiful bed that I get to sleep in every night. And I love the sky. I'm so filled with gratitude for the sky and all of my breath, all of my many breaths that I take throughout my life. And I thank you for the color purple and for red and for green and blue and orange and yellow. And I'm so grateful for my feet that I get to walk on and the food that I get to eat and the birds and the sky and the trees and the grass and the lawns. And Oh, I just love rolling and playing on the lawns, and thank you so much for the planet Jupiter and for Venus and for men and for women and dogs and cats, and thank you for horses and donkeys and mules and eagles and blue jays and my peace of mind and peace in the world, and thank you with my wide open heart for dark hollows and darkness of night and for you and me and the whole world and the sun and the moon and the stars, and on it goes. And I just invite you to go ahead and try this.
So one of the things I wanted to say, Josephine, was that we received a gratitude poem from one of our listeners, and this is a wonderful poem. It's actually rather long, so what I've decided to do is just to read a small part of it. And it's really timely because it really goes well with the poem that the spontaneous gratitude poem that you just shared with us. So anyway, this is Gratitude as Gateway to Mystery by Bob Banner. I feel grateful for the giant star, the sun that gives us life, warmth, a feeling of calmness in the midst of chaos. I feel like I appreciate more in one day now than all the earliest decades of persistently demanding things outside to change. I appreciate my skin for holding it all together. I appreciate my eyesight to see beauty, my hands to feel water, my nose to smell growing grass and the mulch I spread around my vegetables, my heart to feel its openness and its closedness, my ears to hear the soft winds, to hear the silent breezes, to hear the majestic sounds that emanate from many musical instruments. I appreciate my memories, for they allow me to learn. I appreciate my voice to speak from the heart, to be gentle and vulnerable when the time arises, to be loud and forceful when the time requires it, to whisper soft, loving sounds to my lover. I appreciate the wisdom of not knowing, to be still enough in the mystery to unfold deeper and deeper. I appreciate my bones, my veins, these organs, all of this being named a human being, heavy yet enlightened, mysterious yet knowing, spirit yet physical. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So, Josephine, I'm wondering, do you have someone on the line for us? Are you there, possibly, Leisha?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, Leisha.
Thank you.
So, do you have something to share with us?
Yeah, I have a little poem that kind of started out as a consolation poem for what life doesn't give you, and I guess consolation as a form of gratitude. So this is called You Can't Have It All. You can't have it all, but you can have the purr of the cat as it kneads your belly and stares soulfully into your eyes, a cup of hot tea, a warm bath lapping gently over tired, chilled muscles. A train ride where you talk to a stranger and discover that you attended the same elementary school, and you both remember 35-cent movies and the roller skating rink. You can have the warm downpour of summer rain that makes you pull off your clothes and lie naked in the wet electric fur of grass stroked by an unseen charge. Or the moment at 4 a.m. when you wake up and realize you're no longer angry with your father for the way he raised you. You can't have it all, but you can travel to Italy, visit the house where your mother was born, picture her in that small stone farmhouse, feeding chickens or racing barefoot down the steep hills to fetch water from the stream. And you can find an open welcome from family you didn't know existed, any more than they knew of you. Bask in their surprised joy and feel so happy right then that you had learned to speak Italian. You can't have that career as a concert pianist, but you can listen to Chopin or Beethoven played brilliantly anytime you want. You can't recall in any detail the Elton John concert you saw in 1970 at the Fillmore, but now you can find it on YouTube. You can't bring back Mama Cass Elliott from the dead, but you can sing along to California Dreamin' as you're driving through mist in the Santa Cruz Mountains, in the month of March, and there, 100 shades of green and a dozen shades of fog cling to the sloping valleys.
Wow. Thank you so much. Are you still there, Leisha?
No, Leisha has jumped off now, but I'm here. That was wonderful, Leisha. Thank you so much. It was beautiful. You gave me the goosebumps.
It was
a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I was loving that.
Thanks so much for sharing.
Yeah, completely lost in the various images and memories, and that was wonderful.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Mm.
All those shades of green. Well, Tony, I wonder if perhaps now you could share that next slide, which is another Thanksgiving poem, and this is the little booklet that I got, and the phone number where you can call for, it's called the Thanksgiving Address. And it's Greetings to the Natural World, and it's Care of the Tracking Project. And this, my dear friend Linda, brought to one of our women's spirituality circles. And I just found it extraordinary. It's the wisdom of, you know, the First Nations people who were here in North America. And they bring their minds together with every aspect of our reality. So, you know, they begin with the people and move on to the Mother Earth, and then to the waters, and on they go. And with each one, the food, plants, and the fish, they say, you know, we are grateful that we can still find pure water, and so now we turn to the fish and send our greetings and our thanks. Or they say, you know, beans and berries have helped the people to survive. Many other living things draw strength from them, too. We gather all the plant foods together as one and send them a greeting of thanks. And now our minds are one. And after each stanza, they end with, now our minds are one. And I love it because it just so helps us to really connect and to commune and to realize the oneness that we all share. And so we had that wonderful wisdom from Amalia earlier from the Andes of Peru. Thanks.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And thanks also to Bob for Gratitude is Gateway to Mystery.
Oh, yes. What a beautiful, beautiful poem. I was so glad that he sent that in.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed reading it and seeing it. And thank you so much, Tony, for reading it.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in those kind of moods. We're like, oh, grumble, 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 you know. And yeah, we can certainly do that. But how much nicer to go, wow, that was great, you know. I mean, we really do have choices in our world. And, you know, sometimes we make choices to be offended or to be insulted or whatever it might be. And instead we can allow ourselves to turn our minds towards gratitude and just, you know, geez, that was wonderful. And look at how I can move and how beautiful that is. And my arms and my feet and my hands, here they are. And it, when we do focus on gratitude instead of what's wrong, because it's easy for us to focus on what's wrong, and especially if we've had our heart hurt or something like that. But if we can get a hold of ourselves as quick as we can and begin to focus on gratitude, it makes us so much easier to be around.
Yeah, it does.
It does. And my meditation training has really helped me to catch my thoughts. And, you know, I'm human too. I can certainly slip and fall just as quick as the next person. And, you know, I might find my mind down there in the gutter somewhere full of complaints and negative naysaying. And, you know, fortunately, I've gotten so that I have this little part of me that's always watching going, really, Josephine, isn't that interesting? Look where you are right now. Huh, that's kind of funny. Well, all right, stay there as long as you want, you know. But that meditation training has helped me to really watch my mind. And then I can go ahead and say, oh, right, you know, do I really want to stay here? Or let's see, what are my tools? Well, there's forgiveness, and then there's understanding, and then there's appreciation. Oh, what a good idea. And so then I let myself, you know, start thinking about what there is there that I can appreciate. And there's always something that's worth appreciating, even if it's just the very next breath you draw into your lungs. But appreciation, especially for somebody else that we might feel a little bit off with, really helps us to shift the energy, and we all love it. It's such a great thing. So I was wondering, Tony, if you could show our next slide with that.
Certainly.
Good. This is a really popular, really wonderful quote from Rumi, and it goes, there are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. I just love that. I just think it is so great. The slightly, you know, these are all stanzas that are taken from some of these longer Rumi poems, and the slightly longer version is, let the beauty we love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And what a beautiful, beautiful poem that is.
It really is, yes. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too. So I'd like to give another little homework assignment, because I do like to do that. And so I invite you to, sometime if you feel inclined this week, if when you're with someone and you feel a sort of a grumble moment coming on, just see if you can catch yourself. And then look for any little thing that you can appreciate in that moment instead. And then express that gratitude to the other person. So I'm not saying that you have to find something that you appreciate in that person, but something that you appreciate in the moment. Although if you want to take it to the next step, you know, grade two, then find something you could appreciate about that person and share that. And with that, Tony, perhaps you can show our next slide then.
Certainly.
Thank
you. Seem to have a lot of slides.
We have a lot of slides. And thanks to Frank. My goodness, he did beautiful slides today. I so loved those early ones with the water at the beach that we took.
They were fantastic. And for anyone watching who doesn't know, that is a local beach to us in San Diego. I believe that's Cayucas Beach. And the figure you can see in the foreground is none other than Josephine.
Oh.
And she looks very grateful. She looks like she's having a great time.
The sunset, I'm sure, back there. It was a lovely time. We went to the beach with our dear friend Einar and had a wonderful time there. So this slide says, gratitude brings more blessings. And sometimes I just like to say, you know, Lord or Lady, let the rain of blessings fall. And when we are, you know, really in our gratitude, that's the way things happen. It's just like blessing after blessing just falls all around us like rain. And it's just like rain. It nourishes the earth. It nourishes us. It brings up all that's fruitful and beautiful in our lives. So hooray for gratitude.
Well, speaking of which, Josephine, maybe there's a good time to read out another message from a listener.
Oh, sure.
This one comes from a listener from the Central Coast of California, so nearby. Hi, Mama. I love what you are doing in the world. I have come to a deeper wisdom in myself around prayer this past year and believe in it so deeply for myself. I so love seeing you putting your work and messages into the world with such grace, Josephine. You are a true inspiration and mother among our community. Thank you.
Okay, you're making me blush a little bit back here. That's really wonderful. Thank you so, so very much. That's a delight.
Well, then maybe I should now read a message, but this time from someone on the East Coast of America.
Oh, great.
And it goes like this. Right on, Josephine. Have you heard the Karen Drucker song, I'm So Blessed? The words are simple. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful, I'm so blessed.
Mm.
It just keeps repeating. I love this one. We sing it every Sunday at the Science of Mind Center. Big hugs, Alita.
Oh, Alita, thank you so much for sending that in. I'd love to hear it sometime. It just sounds beautiful.
Yep, well, maybe we'll get her to phone us up and sing it for us. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be great. I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed, I'm so grateful, I'm so blessed. That's lovely. Yeah, you know, that reminds me of this extraordinary moment that happened in time back in around 1978 when Frank and I were young and going to college. And we lived out in Morro Bay because it was a little less expensive to live in one of the ancillary communities. And then we would commute into Cal Poly where we went to the university every day, well, Monday through Friday. And we would usually take off together first thing in the morning so we could catch whichever had the earliest class, and then we'd drive back at the end of the day. And it's this absolutely stunningly beautiful drive because there are these seven volcanic peaks that are known as the Seven Sisters along the way, Hollister Peak and Bishop's Peak and Cerro San Luis. And as we would drive out, we would be able to see these gorgeous, gorgeous landscapes around in the farmland, around the base of the mountains. And that alone was, you know, I've never tired of that drive. And that alone was just something to be extraordinarily grateful for. But at one point, as we were making that commute every day, this really interesting thing occurred. There were some monks who were traveling, I believe they were traveling from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And they passed between on that stretch of highway that we were commuting on every day. And what they did, they were wearing white garments, and what they did was they would take one step forward, and then they would kneel and bend down and get completely prostrate on the earth, and then they would kiss the earth, and then they would rise back up and stand and take one more step, and then they would kneel and lie down and kiss the earth, and then stand back up and take one more step. And we saw this, you know, the first day or two that we saw this, we were like, wow, what is going on here? You know, but as the, it took them quite a long time to travel at that slow pace from San Luis Obispo to Bombay.
Yeah, must have done.
Oh, my God, it was just astounding. And it percolated in so deep in our subconscious minds to see this act of devotion and gratitude and prayer happening every day. Right beside us as we were whizzing by, here was the slow lane, the really slow lane, and deep in gratitude. And I'll never forget that. That was, Sir Frank won't either. It was just a remarkable experience, and I'm so grateful to those young men, those two young men who did that. And they would stop when nightfall came, and somebody who was a part of their support team would take them to a place where they would get food and water and sleep the night, and then they'd be back out there before dawn at it again. All day long. It was really, really something.
That's fantastic, Josephine. You know, I was just wondering, with all this talk of, you know, gratitude and prayers of gratitude, and we've heard some beautiful poems today. I just wondered, did you have a prayer of gratitude? I mean, you know, just that you could share with us?
Oh, you mean like. Thank you, Inanna, for this beautiful food.
Something like that would be delightful.
Yeah. Well, there is one prayer of gratitude that I always use that is my dining prayer, which is, from the earth we receive and so learn to give, together we share and so we live.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice one?
That's really, really very nice. Josephine, we do have a question. I know it's getting rather late in the show, about last week's show about prayer.
Mm.
Shall I read it out for you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So this listener writes, should I pray for a car when I really need one to get a job, knowing that there are people going hungry all over the world who don't even have a home to live in?
Mm. Yeah, that's a very deep question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how nice to have a question. We've had so many wonderful gratitude comments. It's been very lovely, but it's nice to have a question, too. So, about a car. Well, you know, sometimes we do think that, you know, is this trivial or materialistic, these needs that I have when there's so many in the world that are doing without? It can seem selfish and narrow-minded. And this is really a big question. I mean, should I pray for a car when people are going hungry? And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this very thing because at one point it came up in a class that I was teaching on self-love. And I have a dear friend, Satyo, who lives in the Bay Area, and she studied with Charlotte Joko Beck on Zen. We spoke about her a few weeks ago in our talk on meditation. And what Charlotte would like to advise is to accept what is, which I think is a really good place to start, to accept what is. So there are people who are starving in the world, and then we do need a car to get a job, so we can start there. And then, like I mentioned earlier about Byron Katie, loving what is, really understanding that everything is working itself out for our highest good, and out of this experience only good will come, and I am safe, and there are other people in the world who have needs, and I have needs too, and we can go ahead and move with both, you know, that idea that you sometimes share with me that your friend Tim Freak talks about, Tony, about not either or, but and both. Isn't that it? Is it and?
Well, he says both and, but
both
and both will work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, both and. So holding both of them. And, you know, at one time I had a really terrible head injury, as I've shared in the past, and sometimes these things are very hard to accept, let alone love it. But in time I came to see that it was one of the greatest blessings of my life. And then as well, we were speaking earlier about forgiveness so that the truth can be made known. And then my mentor, Jana, had a very beautiful asking prayer, which is, I think we mentioned this last week on the prayer show, which is, God grant their needs met. And that's such a beautiful prayer for us to use whenever we see lack or difficulty or struggle or concern, is to just affirm sometimes, you know, angels hear now, or God grant that their needs are met. That's a wonderful way that we can help. And so often we do feel helpless in a situation that's traumatic for others. There's so much suffering in the world, and there's that beautiful prayer that Gandhi gives, that prayer is the most potent instrument of action. And we can ask to help meet the needs of others. We can pray for that, and we can ask for what's right for us, and we can ask for what's right for them, too. Then there's that lovely, wise teaching from Lao Tzu, which is that peace in the world begins with peace within. And then the Dalai Lama, who said, without inner peace, it's impossible to have world peace. And then I sometimes think of that story of Ram Dass that I mentioned last week, where he's throwing the frisbee in Golden Gate Park, and you know, Gandhi said, ask yourself if your next action is of any use to the poorest child you've ever seen. You know, do you throw the frisbee or not? Does it help the child or not? That's a good question to think about. And then Joseph Campbell tells a story where he met a guru that when he was a young man, he asked his guru while he was a student, and they got into a long discussion, you know, what do we do about this dilemma, this same question? You know, I have needs, but I see that others have needs, and what can I do about that? I mean, do I give up all of my needs to help the rest of the world have more of their needs met? And his guru said that we have to say yes to life. We have to start with ourselves. We can't change anyone else, only ourselves. So getting our own minds in alignment and in harmony with divine providence and grace, that increases the peace and grace in the world, and peace and the joy in the world, starting with us. And so that's part of this whole idea, you know, is how we can come around to allowing ourselves to accept ourselves and also accepting the rest of the world's situation and honoring it and trying to bring as much grace to it as we possibly can. And then another part of this is what my teacher Jana used to say, which is, only that which is mine to do, no more, no less. And that was such a wise teaching for me. It's, you know, sometimes it's good to be an activist and to go out and fight the wrongs, or maybe we're called to go within and be reflective. But we just have to listen to our own unique calling and just really find our way. Our discontent can be just as important as our joy. So we have to know what's right for us. And it sounds like, in this case, that it's a very necessary thing for you to get a car, and that it's probably a good idea, but I would recommend asking within and finding what's yours to do here. How are you called to serve the others, and how are you called to love yourself enough to meet your own needs in your own way? And I like to say that our joy and our discontent will guide us. So just open your heart, offer your compassion, give appreciation. And I love that wonderful wisdom from Doc Childra and Howard Martin in the Heart Math Solution, when they say that a change of heart changes everything.
Well, Josephine, thank you so much for such a complete answer. I'm sure it was really valuable to everyone listening, because I'm sure that's something that we all feel.
Yeah.
And it was a really beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's almost time for us to go. We kind of like run out of time again.
Oh, dear.
So the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Just click on the top menu for radio. And if you'd like to be included in our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of Josephine's website. Again, that's stepintomagic.com, and send us a message. So, Josephine, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes. Thank you, Tony, for asking. I just want to express my heartfelt appreciation to all of you who are listening and joining me in following our inspirations with gratitude to create our world together step by step. And in closing, I'd just like to thank you all so very much for giving me the gift of your time. And I'd like to finish with this little blessing, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about prayers of gratitude. This has been show number P-2.14. And if you've enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next week, when Josephine will be talking about the prayer of the silent union with the divine.
Oh, Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. And I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.